One of the challenges when we read Scripture today is that we are reading it today in the United States of America. In the United States of America in the year 2026 is a vastly different place than the nation of Israel 2,000 years ago. One of the critical ways that it's different is the agricultural nature of life. Jesus talks a lot about agrarian references that make perfect sense to those who grew up where if you weren't directly involved in some facet of the production of food, you knew lots of people who were. It was in the fabric of every town, every city, that food production was there and known. But for us, 2% of the U.S. population is involved in the production of food. We know that if you pull up to the drive-thru at McDonald's, we can order a cheeseburger. But do we know how a cow is grown? Do we know how the hamburger is made? Do we know how the cheese was produced? If we're feeling better and we order a salad, do we have any idea what a lettuce seed looks like? Let alone how to prepare the soil and plant it? And I know as summer comes upon us here in the Lowcountry, not many of us are prone to be wearing wool, but if we were in the wintertime, do you know where it comes from? Do you know what it takes to produce it, to raise the sheep? All of that would have been second nature to the group that Jesus is talking to here, but it may be a little foreign to us. So I want to try to help us understand this a little bit. And I may say some things that seem insulting, and that's not meant to be the case. But I want to start out with this simple observation. Sheep, as cute as they are dumb and defenseless. And so we need to be mindful that Jesus here is telling a parable about being a shepherd, and he is essentially calling his flock sheep. That's not high praise, necessarily. He is saying, you are dumb and defenseless, but let me explain how, says Jesus. Relative to the shepherd who guides you, you are dumb. Relative to the predators who would seek to destroy you, you are defenseless. And that is why we need one who is stronger. And in fact, I think the Apostle Paul does a wonderful job of describing this in Ephesians chapter 6. And if you'll allow me just a quick moment, I just want to read you a few verses from chapter 6. Because Paul writes this. He says, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, he exhorts us. And that's the reality that we need to understand. We may be brilliant among us. We have in this room doctors. We have in this room scholars. We have in this room attorneys. We have some really capable minds that cannot hold a candle to Satan. And if we try to fight him with the means that are secondhand to us, we will find ourselves to be as defenseless as a sheep. We need to put on that which can fight against spiritual powers. We need the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. We need the sword that is the Word of God. We need spiritual strength to fight a spiritual battle. And so get that into our minds as we dive into these verses, because the very first thing I want to say, the first couple of verses here, make it clear that there are two competing voices fighting for the sheep of this world. One of those voices wants nothing but our good. The other voice wants nothing but our harm. One of those voices we can recognize by the way he presents himself. The others are going to try to get our attention by whatever means possible. Jesus wants us to be aware that it is not simply his voice calling for your attention, but there are others seeking their own self-glorification and not his. So beware of that. We see in verse 3 that what Jesus is talking about is a special type of relationship. The important thing to understand about relationship is it's two ways, two involved. And what Jesus is saying here is that I know my sheep, and I know them by name. You know what I see when I see a flock of sheep? I see sheep. I see these fluffy, whitish creatures with black noses and black hooves, and they may be milling around, but I don't know one sheep from another. I just see sheep. Jesus knows them by name. And I suppose if I had maybe 5 or 10 sheep and I spent a week with them, I might recognize, okay, that one's bigger than that one. That one's faster than that one. That one's really skittish. That one is calm. That one eats as fast as possible. I might start to observe and learn and understand the unique traits and characteristics. And I might even give them names that go along with what I notice so that I can tell them apart. But Jesus doesn't just have one flock of sheep. He's got millions. And he knows our innate characteristics and traits so much so that he can distinguish us out of a million. And he knows our names. Know that. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is to come, who created all the universe. If you are a part of his flock, he knows your name. That's special. But notice there's another part to that as well. He says that the sheep know his voice. I saw a video, a little snippet of a video a few months back. It was a baby, an infant, maybe less than an hour out of mom's womb. It had been placed in a bassinet and was just wailing. You can imagine, it's easy to understand why a child would do that. You've gone from this peaceful place that you know is home, and all of a sudden you are inundated with a whole new environment, being bombarded with all kinds of senses you didn't know existed. It's very confusing. And this child is just crying, but then her father comes up and speaks in a soothing voice. And the transition is almost immediate. From crying to calm. This child hadn't even opened its eyes yet, couldn't see dad. Didn't matter because for all the months in mom's womb, the kid couldn't see dad anyway. But that child had months of hearing the soothing sound of a mom and a dad talking to one another and talking to her. And moments after she is wailing, she hears the reassuring voice of her father, and everything's okay. We are called to know the voice of Jesus. Now, the difficult thing is, Jesus isn't whispering into our ear all day long. We don't get to walk down the street having a conversation and hearing. Does he have a high pitch, low pitch? Is it nasally? Is it clear? I don't know. But what he did do was speak to others who then wrote down what he said. God's Spirit pouring into authors who created the scriptures so that we could know his voice. We're lucky to live in the era in which we live, where technology has allowed God's word to be faithfully translated into a number of different languages. but even in the English language, to be translated into some different forms. There are some that are almost literal word-for-word translations from the original Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew, and there are some that more paraphrase it to make it easier to understand in today's day and age. If you're somebody that can't read or doesn't like to read, you can just listen to it. Somebody will read it for you. You can even, if you want, find videos of people reading it so you can watch them read it to you. I'm saying this because if you are a Christian and you don't know the voice of Jesus, that's on you. 100% on you. And if I might step on their toe a little bit more, if you aren't spending time trying to absorb the voice of God on a regular basis, what does that say about your love for the one you say saved you? If you can't give him time over anything else to hear him, if your heart doesn't yearn to know him, has your heart been made new? It's a question worth really pondering. It really is. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, as revealed in God's word. Okay, so the sheep hear his voice. The sheep know his voice. I want to jump back to something I said earlier. If you're called to walk in this relationship with Jesus, you're called to be on a particular side in a spiritual battle that's underway. There are no neutral players in this game. A sheep can't go out into the field and say, "I don't want to follow you, shepherd, but I also don't want the wolves to come at me." That's not how it works. You are either vulnerable or you are protected. And so we need to know the voice of Jesus because the battle has already been won. It's kind of like, I use this example, it may or may not apply, but when the Allies successfully invaded Europe on D-Day, that effectively determined that the war was over. We knew who was going to win. But there was another year of battle that had to take place before victory was finally complete. We already know that God wins. The war is still raging, and we are still in the battlefield. We need to be prepared. But here's the thing. Jesus declares in this that he didn't just come so that we would know his voice. He wants us to know his voice, but he wants us to know his voice for a purpose. And that purpose isn't simply that we be spared on that great day of judgment. He says, "I didn't come so that you may have life." And that's what he means. I didn't just come so that you wouldn't perish in the lake of fire. I came so that you would have abundant life, that you could live it today to the fullness to which you were created. Because as we live our lives according to his voice, he leads us in paths that we might not otherwise have gone. He prevents us from going down paths we would have happily gone down. So that our lives today can be the fullest for which we were created. Walking in harmony with our Creator. So that when we stroll right into heaven, it's like we're walking into the most welcome, warm place we've ever experienced. A continuation of that relationship. That is not what the other voices have in mind. They come simply to steal and destroy. And the problem with those voices, as I mentioned, we are no, we can't compete against them because they know what we really like. They know what our desires are, and they will tempt us that way, lead us astray. But they want nothing but our destruction. Jesus leads us down a different path. I'm closing in on I promise I'm getting close to the ending here. But I want you to know this as well. Jesus lays out something in here that is important for us to understand. He says, you will not only know my voice by how it sounds, but you will know my voice for what it says. Do you ever have somebody come up to you and say, you will not believe what Jim did? And then they tell you what Jim did, or at least what they say they heard Jim did. But you know Jim really well. And you say to yourself, that doesn't sound like Jim. You weren't talking about how his voice sounds. You were talking about his character. Jesus says, I lay down my life for my sheep. The character of unconditional love of a shepherd is that he will go to the cross for you to save you from those evil forces. The character of the good shepherd who loves you unconditionally, even in your sin, but was willing to die for you. The character of those who come to kill and destroy is something very different. They're not going to lay down their lives for you. If somebody's coming to tear you apart, they're going to step out of the way. Have at it, my friend. The character of our shepherd is the one that puts us before him. And so as we get to know the character, when we hear different voices, even if they mimic his voice, say something, we can hear it and say, that doesn't sound like my good shepherd. Because we know him. And that's the nature of the relationship. Finally, Jesus says that I have sheep from other flocks, and I've got to bring them in to my one ultimate fold. I don't speak Chinese. My knowledge of Spanish is limited to words like un poquito. That means a little. And that's even insulting the word little to say that that's how little I know about Spanish. I don't speak Swahili. In fact, when I try to speak French, the people who know French tell me, don't speak French. But there are flocks in those nations with whom I would have absolutely no way of communicating but for this. They all know the voice of Jesus too. And because they know the voice of Jesus and I know the voice of Jesus, we will be as one big family together. The thing that unites us all is not our cultural similarities. It's not how we look. It's not how we grew up. It's not where we are demographically. It's Christ. And we need to keep that. The only thing that unites us, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. It is, by way of conclusion, important for us to remember, as these final few verses talk about how this message was received, we see that the audience is still divided. Some say, he's nuts. He's insane. He is demon-possessed. And the others say, but could a demon-possessed man heal like he does? The audience, the Jewish audience that watched Jesus speak and teach and work in their midst, was divided. But there was a shepherd that came before him, about 1,000 years before, actually, a shepherd boy who would go on to become king, David. David knew about shepherding, and David would write a beautiful psalm, and we've been dancing all around it this service. We opened with words from it. We sang portions of it. I want to close with it. Hear what one king knew about the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David had it right 1,000 years before Jesus proclaimed to be the good shepherd, because King David knew God's promise as part of God's character, that it would be fulfilled. It was fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and the good shepherd. Know his voice and follow him to those still waters and those green pastures, and live an abundant life like only God could create for you. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray.